friends, brothers and sisters, comrades, fellow citizens, your majesties and highnesses, my countrymen, my children, fellow soldiers, ladies and gentlemen. You see, you can tell much by the opening of a speech. Elizabeth I begins hers majestically, my loving people. Mandela says, comrades and friends. Lincoln starts, fellow countrymen. Toussaint Louverture combines brothers and friends. For Robespierre, citizen representatives of the people. Michelle Obama calls her audience of schoolgirls future leaders of the world. Stalin changes his entire relationship with the Soviet peoples when, after the Nazi invasion, he addresses them on the 3rd of July 1941, not just as communist comrades, but as brothers and sisters. I'm addressing you, dear friends. Eliezer, Jewish rebel leader, calls his people generous friends when he asks them to commit mass suicide with him. Calling an audience friends is often a good start, though Cromwell, talking to English parliamentarians, takes a different approach. Ye pack of mercenary wretches, ye sordid prostitutes. Donald Trump doesn't address his audience directly, but just says, wow, whoa, that's some group of people, thousands. The opening is all about defining the relationship, the terms of the contract, contact and compact between speaker and audience. Invite them in, make them comfortable, but not necessarily too comfortable, because even the most egalitarian speaker must hold the helm and set the course. This is a wholly new book of the greatest speeches in history, and a companion to my written in history, Letters That Changed the World. These are speeches everyone should know. Some are familiar, and rightly so. Some, I hope, are new to you. I would like to tell you, the speeches that changed the world were the most poetic, truthful, and decent. Hymns of liberty, pains of tolerance. Yes, there are many of those here, but the most powerful speeches are not all about love, beauty, and poetry. They are often atrocious projections of naked power, of lies, hatred, and calumny, dehumanizing so-called enemies with cruel hyperbole. Such speeches move worlds just as much as those of the nobler spirit and heroic courage. This collection includes the best and the worst. Some of the most diabolical are here, partly for the fascination of seeing words that convinced so many in other epochs to do unspeakably terrible things, partly to wonder at their obvious combination of evil and absurdity. Above all, I include these wicked speeches because in our own times, the very truth of these events has been challenged in an age of historical ignorance, resurgent hatreds, and conspiracy theories. It has never been more important to see and hear the evidence, more essential to know such things and realize there were times when mere words helped make violence and hatred not just normal and acceptable, but desirable. Many of these speeches are viscerally relevant today, even though they were delivered centuries ago. In the age of populism, Brexit, and Trumpism, when widespread indignation and exasperation with traditional parliaments and professional politicians is fierce, Cromwell's furious attack on his own parliamentarians sounds familiar to us. He felt he was draining the swamp. It's impossible to listen to the speeches of Sojourner Truth, Martin Luther King, and Toussaint Louverture without reflecting on how racism in America and Europe has survived and thrived. It's tragic that in the 21st century it is relevant to include a speech against anti-Semitism, anti-Jewish racism, and anti-Zionism by Chaim Herzog. In Stalin's speech, we hear the original Stalinist version of the anti-Semitism now resurgent on